back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. As is our custom on Friday, it is my great pleasure to welcome IQ Arasuli to the program. IQ Arasuli is the author of a three-volume series called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. His books are available at Amazon.com. IQ, over the last few days, I'm sure you're aware that we would be talking about issues related to the Snowden disclosure, that America had decided that the best way to protect Americans from terrorism was to spy on Americans, to ignore the protections offered Americans in their Constitution in terms of unreasonable search and seizure, and to impose a universal, without cause, surveillance of Americans' use of the telephone and the Internet. Now, there's a story that I want to begin with to get your input on, because you've come from that part of the world. But Dianne Feinstein, who is the head of America's Senate Intelligence Committee, said that this program had stopped terrorist acts in America. And she gave two examples. One of them was the capture of a man named David Headley. And said that by capturing him using these methods, that America had stopped a major terrorist event in America, because David Headley was the surveillance guy for the Mumbai terrorist attacks. Now, it wasn't true. This program had nothing to do with the capture of David Headley. And David Headley was actually an agent of the U.S. government at the time. But what the David Headley story presents, IQ, and this is what we were discussing yesterday, is the fact that Dianne Feinstein, as head of the Senate's Intelligence Committee, knows full well that the Pakistani government is one of the world's largest sponsors of Islamic terrorism, including the Mumbai attacks. And that it was coordinated through their ISI. And the United States is the largest external source of funds and munitions for the Pakistani army and for the Pakistani intelligence service. And so here is Dianne Feinstein saying we captured a soldier, a foot soldier in this war, while we are the largest sponsor of the Pakistani government, which is the world's most aggressive sponsor of Islamic terrorism. I see some hypocrisy there. How about you? Well, what I don't have here is IQ clicked on the to be so that you can. Yeah, I'm sorry, IQ, but I'm sorry for that long introduction, first of all, and second of all, I'd like your response to it. Am I correct in that noting that there is a direct connection between the United States sponsoring the Pakistani military, the Pakistani ISI, and the Pakistani ISI and government being directly involved in sponsoring terrorist attacks like what we witnessed in Mumbai not too many years ago?
Yes, they do it all the time. They're trying to do it the same now in Syria. They are accusing the Assad government of using chemical weapons, but there's no proof, no exact proof. In fact, the enemies of Assad are using the same weapons.
Correct. Yeah, it's amazing that the only insight on the Syrian front, of course, is that the Israeli intelligence, their Mossad, has photographs that show that people have been poisoned, and while they can't even say what the poison was, the Mossad has made it quite clear that it is impossible to even determine which side is using the poison. But, of course, the United States wants to aid and abet terror, and so we want to side with the terrorists in that conflict. But it was just stunning to me that the United States government would come out and say, you know, we could continue to spy on Americans at large because this spying has led to the arrest of an individual, David Headley. When David Headley's arrest, all it did is affirm that the United States, one of its largest annual gifts of war materials and money, is to the Pakistani government, which was directly responsible for the Mumbai attacks in India.
But, I mean, Feinstein, she gave an example of one person, one entity. She failed to say that the other attacks the one in Boston, the one in Times Square, were not detected by anybody.
Well, correct.
They were only detected after the event because the event failed.
Yes, but my point really with David Headley is, A, she was lying. He was not arrested as a result of the surveillance. He was arrested solely because he tried to perpetrate another attack on the Danish newspaper for its depicting of Mohammed as inspiring suicide bombers, as if that weren't a reasonable thing to do. And that's how we came to capture David Headley. And at the time, David Headley actually happened to be an employee working, or certainly a paid informant working for the U.S. government, even at the time of his capture. Nothing to do with this huge Spygate surveillance of Americans. And at the same time, it drives right to the heart of America's hypocrisy. We claim to be fighting to protect Americans from terrorism, while America is aiding and abetting the world's leading terrorist states.
In fact, Americans are being terrorized by their own government.
Of course.
I mean, you know, they don't have to kill Americans to terrorize them. The fact that they are spying on the American people without justification, without constitutional justification, this is treason.
It is treason.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's treason.
Yeah, in fact, Scott, whom you know you get to talk to as you call in, says, how in the world can the FBI say that it needs to prosecute Snowden for treason? All Snowden did is say the U.S. government, in direct breach of the U.S. Constitution, without cause, is spying on Americans. And that would mean that if he committed a treasonous act and was aiding and abetting the enemy, well, the people that are being spied on then therefore must be the enemy. And if they're the enemy, that means that the American people are the enemy of the American government.
That
something.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But in reality, the American government is the enemy of the American people.
That's correct.
No difference. I hear every single time one senator or another senator or somebody from Homeland Security speaking, we are protecting the American people. But in reality, I'm an outsider looking in.
Right.
They're betraying the American people 24 hours a day.
Yeah, that's correct. Here's another interesting, this was a report that was sent yesterday. It's from Investors Business Daily. It reads, Homeland Security. The White House assures that the tracking of our every phone call and every keystroke on our computers is to stop terrorists. And yet they won't snoop in mosques where the terrorists are. The government's sweeping surveillance of private communications explicitly excludes mosques.
Whoever issued that directive?
Obama.
Can be put on trial.
Obama.
Investigated and if found guilty to be hanged.
Yeah, Obama. That was Obama's direct interaction. He said that mosques must not have their civil liberties challenged in this regard, and that the one exclusion from surveillance is the one place where virtually every terrorist acts emerge, the mosque. You know, even in American mosques, the surveys that are done of American mosques show that 80% of American mosques explicitly encourage jihad and terrorist activity.
But why is anybody surprised? They are reading the Quran. I have always said.
Of course. Of course.
The Quran and only the Quran. Stupid.
Right. If you're, it is impossible. In fact, I've been communicating with a fundamentalist Muslim overseas here these last few days, and he claims to be a Salafist. And I said, well, if you're a good Muslim, then you must be a terrorist. And he says, of course. We're in complete agreement. It is impossible to be a good Muslim and not being a terrorist. And so if you want to protect the world or America or your family from terrorism, since 99% of terrorism is inspired by Islam and it's a religion that specifically orders its adherents to be terrorists, then you have to focus on Islam. If you don't expose and condemn Islam, then you are exacerbating the problem.
No, not only exacerbate, you're aiding and abetting the very enemy of humanity. By the way, Do you know what a moderate Muslim is? A moderate Muslim is either a traitor in waiting or a terrorist in waiting.
Yes, one of the most interesting things about putting the Quran in chronological order and setting it into the context of Muhammad's life is the realization of what the ninth surah, which was the second to last surah revealed by Muhammad. We can't say handed down because there was no spiritual guidance here. This was Muhammad's own rantings for his own personal good. But when you put it in chronological order, one of the things I cue that immediately becomes obvious is that Muhammad, and this is the lesson of the ninth surah, it's directly to what you just said about peaceful Muslims, that Muhammad had overhunted Jews. He had robbed, raped, enslaved, and murdered every Jew within camel ride of Mecca and Medina. There were no more Jews to hunt. He had overhunted them. Kind of like the Great Plains and the bison, I suppose. Overhunted them. No more Jews to plunder. And he had hunted down and robbed and raped and enslaved every Arab that wouldn't convert to Islam within camel ride of Mecca and Medina. He needed fresh meat. He had created a barbarian religion, a barbarian political and economic scheme that thrived off of robbery and terrorism. And so he needed fresh meat. And the only fresh meat was the Byzantine Empire. And so he ordered his jihadist religious buffoons to go attack a Byzantine community. And that ninth surah is all about them saying, hey, we ain't riding all the way across the desert to attack them. They've got an army. The Byzantines are like, really, they actually have an army. We haven't attacked anybody with an army yet. Are you crazy? No, we don't want to go do that. And so what Muhammad had his pretend God say is, if you don't engage in jihad, if you're a peaceful Muslim, you're a hypocrite. And therefore, as a hypocrite, you cease to be a Muslim. And as a hypocrite, the good Muslims are ordered to kill you so that my wannabe God can torture you in hell. Is that not the purpose of the ninth surah?
Absolutely. But you forget something else. He also exterminated and finished off the Christian Arabs. Not only the Jews, the Christian Arabs also.
He overhunted them. And so he had to turn to a new community. And when you understand the ninth surah in context, in the context of time and in Muhammad's life, in the context of the region of what was occurring around Arabia, you understand why this religion has to be exposed and condemned, that there is no hope for this religion, and that there will never be a peaceful Muslim. We'll return to Shattering Myths in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. There was news today, IQ and Scott, that about 100 people may have been killed in Syria from chemical or biological weapons. That would represent 0.1% of the 100,000 people who have been known to have died thus far in this. And as a result, the United States is going to provide weapons to the rebels, and that we are going to, in likelihood, impose a no-fly zone.
I was going to bring this up when you brought it up last segment. I believe we've seen this before from our government with the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Exactly.
They find a reason to go into a place, and then they concoct the reason of why they're going to do it.
Correct.
And then people just blindly follow it.
Correct.
But we've seen this before.
And once they engage, then it becomes the patriotic duty of all Americans just to go along and support the activity. IQ, is there a weapon of mass destruction being deployed in Syria? And have we seen that weapon of mass destruction deployed in other places around the world?
The only weapon of mass destruction is Islam.
Correct. And so why would America provide weapons to those who are the most zealous adherents to Islam, the rebels, and think that was a good thing to do?
Because they are utterly stupid or treacherous. I don't know which one it is.
You know, I don't think it can be. I always think of my good friend Larry as I make this statement, because Larry is a conspiracy theorist. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it becomes impossible somewhere along the road, to think that we have made the wrong decision about most everything and are the wrong side of most everything just as a result of being stupid. Somewhere along the line, you've got to say, this is deliberate, therefore it's treasonous.
Well, it is treasonous. Either way, this war, this coming war with the next few months, if the attacks go against Israel, we are going to have a nuclear war. I don't care what Obama is saying. He is literally siding with the wrong people. The people that he wants to supply guns, he doesn't even know who they are. The Arabs know who they are. I read the Arabic newspapers. I listen to the Arabic news. 98% of the people who are attacking Assad are Salafis, Wahhabis,
correct,
and they are not moderate. There is no moderate Muslim.
Yeah, well, there is no moderate Muslim. It's according to the Quran, it's impossible to be a peaceful or moderate Muslim. And since the Quran is the definition of what can and cannot be in Islam, since the Quran says it is impossible to be a peaceful or moderate Muslim, that the moment, that's what the Ninth Surah is all about. That's why it's important. What the Ninth Surah says is that if you are not pro-jihad, if you're not engaged in jihad, if you're not willing to fight jihad, which is, in this case, it was a terrorist act where they were going to go with a group of militants to a civilian community to, for the express purpose of terrorizing them, to rob them, to enslave their children, to rape their women, to steal their property, and to kill the men. If you're not a pro-jihad in that light, according to the Ninth Surah of the Quran, you cease to be a Muslim. So why in the world are we aiding and abetting the most fundamentalist of all Muslims, those who are engaged in this kind of jihad against the Assad government? I understand the Assad government's bad, but these guys are worse.
Well, every Muslim government is bad.
Right.
But it's a matter of degrees. Why should America interfere into the internal affairs of somebody else? Why did they interfere when Iran was subjugating its own young people 3-4 years ago? Why?
Right. Why, you know, in the case of Iraq, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. Well, the government we have now in Iraq, because of our invasion, made the situation infinitely worse. We essentially gave Iraq to Iran, which enabled Iran to have influence throughout this region, and the direct result of us giving Iraq to Iran is the Syrian war. The Syrian war would not have taken place if America had not invaded Iraq and given Iraq to Iran.
By the way, Iraq is not Iraq anymore. My country is not Iraq anymore.
No,
it
isn't.
My country now is divided into three parts. The Shia part, the Sunni part, and the Kurdish part.
Correct. And the Shia part, which is two-thirds of it, is nothing but Iran West.
Literally Iran West.
Yes. And the Sunni part is now the awakening councils and the supply of arms that turned the Syrian conflict into an armed conflict as opposed to a peaceful protest. And after a while, you have to wonder, is there any possible way that the United States has consistently been on the wrong side in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Egypt, in Libya, in Tunisia? How is it that we're always on the wrong side unless it's deliberate, unless it's treason? We'll return to Shattering Myths in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We're having a discussion with IQ Arasuli, who is the world's foremost expert on the direct correlation between Islam and terrorism, one of the very few people in the world with the courage, good sense, to be willing to tell people the truth about the ultimate weapon of mass destruction, which is this horrible religion. IQ, you are an Iraqi citizen. Therefore have better insight than I do. I took a year to trace the history of terrorism and to track terrorist events around the world. And when I did that, what I found is that that in the 10 years before America invaded Iraq, that there were very few terrorist acts in Iraq. There was no presence of the what you would call al-Qaeda in Iraq, none. In fact, there was almost no Sunni terrorism of any kind in Iraq, which is, you know, al-Qaeda is a Sunni organization. That there was almost no influence of the Mother Brotherhood. There was, I mean, Iraq as a place where terrorist attacks was occurring was almost non-existent, that there were maybe an average of two a year over the 10 years prior to the U.S. invasion, and that the death toll from those terrorist attacks were in the range of two to three people, typically. Now I understand that there was that genocide was perfpetrated against some Kurd communities, but that's no different than, well, it's horrible, no different than what the Iranians do regularly, the Iraqis have done regularly, the Turks do regularly. Muslims love to perpetrate genocide against Kurds. Who knows why? But after America's invasion, there were more terrorist acts in Iraq than any other country in the world. And this week again, 70 people were killed in a terrorist attack in Iraq. 2,000 people have been killed in Iraq just over the last month or so. Can you share whether or not those insights are valid and what has caused the increase in terrorism in Iraq?
Yes, I can answer both of them. Under Saddam Hussein, we had a secular government. Secular means non-Sharia obedient, non-Sharia
right.
compliant.
Right.
And Saddam Hussein made sure that any imam, any ayatollah, anybody who opens his mouth interfering with politics had their head chopped off.
There
That's why we had no terrorist attacks.
And it was virtually none. I mean, I searched.
I agree with you, none. The only terrorism was conducted by Saddam Hussein against Kurds and against his enemies.
So if we were to say that the purpose of invading Iraq was to fight a war against terrorism, we got exactly the opposite. Rather than diminishing terrorism, we increased it probably in the range of a million-fold by invading Iraq.
If I remember correctly, the invasion was not because of terrorism. It was because of weapons of mass destruction.
Which didn't materialize.
Which didn't materialize. Okay. But this was the purpose. But the question you asked, how is it possible for government after government after government of the United States of America to fail with Islam? Because they don't understand Islam. How many of them have ever read the Quran? You have a Congress, I bet, not even 1% of them have ever read the Quran. Not even 1%.
Right.
And if you don't know your enemy, you cannot defeat him. It is impossible.
Correct. Yeah, because what America has done is it's created this myth that the enemy that they're fighting a war against is terrorism when terrorism is a tactic. Terrorism is a tactic never motivated anybody to do anything. If terrorism is a tactic that is deployed by individuals, but the individual has to be motivated by either a political or a religious scheme to deploy the tactic. And in the case of terrorism, 99.9% of those who deploy the tactic in today's world are Muslims.
Yes, because they are following the dictates of their holy book.
Correct.
They are true, obedient, fundamentalist, religious people. They are lying. Chaudhry, Anjam Chaudhry, you heard the name of the guy.
Yes.
Anjam Chaudhry is in England. And he tells the British people what Islam is all about, and they call him an extremist.
Correct.
He's stupid. Well, he's not stupid. The British people are stupid. Because he is in their country, living
right.
on their welfare, telling
yes.
them that he is going to Islamize them, and they
right.
smile.
Correct. Yeah, there's this notion that anyone who explains that Islam is all about terrorism, that it's a declaration of war against all humankind, that Muhammad was a rapist, he was a pedophile, he was incestuous, he was a slave trader, he was a kidnapper, and that he was a mass murderer, that anyone who tells the truth about Islam is labeled an extremist. And anyone who lies about Islam is considered to be enlightened.
Enlightened and moderate.
Yes. So why is that the case? But tell me, how is it peaceful to aid and abet, if you are lying on behalf of a religion that is responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist attacks, why is aiding and abetting and lying for and uplifting that religion peaceful?
No idea. Honestly, I have no idea. When you have a, I mean, I can understand Obama. I've always said he was a Muslim, no matter what he says, no matter what anybody else says, he's a Muslim. But we were discussing a conspiracy theory. With all due respect, Yada, you have the whole of the American government in collusion with Obama. The FBI, Homeland Security, the CIA, all of them are aiding and abetting the enemies of humanity. How is that possible?
Yeah. It's hard to imagine that it's just because everyone in America and the government of America and the military of America, the intelligence arms of America, the media of America, either they're all stupid and they're all just by dumb luck as it relates to stupidity making the wrong decision every time, or there's more to it than that and they're treasonous. We have Glenn who is calling in from Philadelphia and wants to speak of what's taking place in the Islamic world. Hello, Glenn. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, IQ.
Good morning.
And if you, the picture Shiite and Sunni Islam has two forces at the end of a rubber band that's being stretched, and you have the balkanization tension between them and these various nations and the internecine rivalry between them. And you picture this as a rubber band is being stretched to its limit, and then you pull up in the center of the rubber band. Which way does the force of the tension go?
Oh, always back.
It goes right to the center of where you're pulling. In other words, all that built-up tension is going to go wherever you point it to when you pull up in the center.
Yes.
Congress may not understand what's going on, but the think tanks know exactly what they're doing, and they plan to rebound this tension, all this, you know, build-up of hatred and tension in the direction they want it to go later on, which is going to be against Israel, eventually.
Yeah. You know, what my view is that the conspiracy theorists are right, that this is all perpetrated. What I see here is this is a proxy war. It began as a proxy war between Sunni and Shia Islam because as a direct result of America's invasion of Iraq and giving Iraq to Iran. And so it began as a proxy war between Sunni and Shia Islam, but with the United States and Europe on one side and now the United States saying we're going to engage and Russia and China on the other. This is a proxy war that's going to lead to World War III. And you might say, why would the U.S. government be doing things that would lead America to a world war? And that is because the people who are empowered, their power increases and people question them less and are more devoted to them, are more patriotic when, in fact, you're engaged in a war. And that is precisely what's going to happen. When the United States engages here, it's going to lead directly to World War III.
It's also a proxy war that we're forcing. It feels like we're the one forcing it here.
We are forcing this war.
But who's the we? It's not the governments are like mercenary entities to the globalists. They're all pawns. So the big governments might be rooks in the game, whereas the little smaller entities might be pawns. But you know, do you honestly think that they sit around at Rand and Tavistock and Ford and Carnegie and the war colleges, not understanding Islam? You think they didn't read Sun Tzu, who said, know your enemy? You think they're not reading it in the Quran and the Hadith and, you know.
Yes, but you see that those that you're speaking of, which are those that hold the levers of power around the world, both government leaders, media leaders, international mercantile leaders, banking leaders, they all have something to gain by world war.
Exactly.
They're enriched. They're enriched by world war. They know that Islam is an enemy of humanity, but what better to use to enrich themselves? The bankers and the merchants are the beneficiaries of the world war.
Well, sure, and certainly not the average American citizen who's benefiting. It's not the average Israeli citizen or the average Iraqi citizen who's benefiting. You know, when do they bring the Talmudic, leftist Zionists, into it?
Yeah. Let me Let me ask IQ. You've heard Glenn say that he thinks that this is deliberate, it is purposeful, that the people in power actually know that they're aiding and abetting Islam and leading the world to war. Do you agree?
I can't, because it sounds so outrageous. A World War III would benefit absolutely nobody.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. Every war benefits somebody. Every war benefits somebody. People get really rich during wars.
Correct. But, I mean, with all due respect, when you have nuclear bombs, well, it's going to be hydrogen bombs this time, no nuclear bombs.
Mm.
It will be hydrogen bombs, not nuclear bombs. Mm. And it's not going to be one or two or three or four or five. We're talking about mass annihilation. Mm. And it's in the Northern Hemisphere. Mm. What, you think America will be getting away from it? It's impossible.
Okay. Well, you and I know where this is going. Where this is going is going to be a nuclear confrontation. And that it's going to be annihilation of the Northern Hemisphere of the world. Russia, Europe, and the United States are all going to get caught up in this proxy war. And it's going to lead to world war over probably the next 15 years. That's how long this probably will all play out. And everyone's going to lose. That is true. But you get back to, it is so obvious that Islam is responsible. It's so obvious that Islam is a terrorist manifesto, that its highest calling is jihad. It is so obvious that for us to constantly be on the wrong side, there has to be a reason for it. And if that reason is not the empowerment and the enrichment of certain individuals, then what is it?
I honestly can't figure it out. This is the only thing that I haven't figured out. In 30 years of research, I still have not figured this one out.
Yeah, what IQ is saying is that having studied Islam, having realized how obvious it is that Islam is the source of terrorism and that it's leading us to a world war that's going to be devastating, where billions are going to die, it's hard to imagine how anyone could be aiding and abetting it, and yet almost every government around the world is doing so. Let's think about that some more. Hello, welcome back to the last segment of Shattering Myths for today. We're here with IQ Al-Rasuli. IQ, with the last segment, we were pondering a very difficult question. You have one of the lone voices in the world that's willing to provide evidence and reason to prove that the weapon of mass destruction is Islam, and that Islam is a terrorist dogma, and that Islam, unchecked, unaccountable, will continue to perpetrate terror around the world until the world is enveloped in a world war where literally billions are going to die. Since it is obvious, since the evidence is undeniable, the history is undeniable, we have to wonder, why is almost every media source, virtually every government, virtually all members of the intelligence community, virtually every member of the military, why are they universally on the wrong side and aiding and abetting Islam? What do you think?
I wish you could answer it. I'm flabbergasted. Really, I can't answer it. I can't find any logic, any justice, any morality. Have they all gone banana? Have they all gone crazy? I can't believe that. And you have the Democrats and the Republicans.
Both in America,
in
yes.
In cahoots together.
But it's also throughout Europe. You live in Europe. It is throughout Europe. Cameron, who's a conservative, witnesses a man screaming Allahu Akbar, admitting that he's killing in the name of Islam, and he says Islam has nothing to do with it. He's a conservative.
Correct.
And so it's on both sides. It's
leader in Europe.
Right. So since the answer is obvious, it's undeniable, the evidence is ubiquitous, and it's irrefutable, that Islam is the weapon of mass destruction that's being deployed against the world, and that there is nothing redeeming about this religion, that it is as uncivilized and as corrupt as anything that humanity has ever conceived. Nothing is more destructive. This question remains as to why almost everybody in the media, in the military, in intelligence communities, and in politics is in favor of the religion.
And in academia,
in favor of the religion. The only thing that I can possibly conceive of, IQ, is that around the world, people have been indoctrinated with political correctness. Okay. We're being judgmental. We're doing what you did, which is to examine the evidence and to form conclusions based upon the evidence. That is considered wrong in today's world. And so is the fact that the entire world seems to be aiding and abetting its own destruction, the fact that so many people have been indoctrinated in political correctness?
It is, but that's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. You remember you were talking, you were quoting some verse from Surah 9, the Tawbah.
Yes.
Look, listen to what Bukhari Sahih says. And these are the records of Islam. Sahih Bukhari 4.13, narrated by Anas bin Malik. Muhammad said, a single endeavor of fighting in Allah's cause, qital fi sabilillah, jihad, is better than the whole world and whatever is in it.
Correct.
Sahih Muslim hadith, narrated by Abu Huraira. He says, I heard Muhammad say, I love that I should die in the cause of Allah, jihad. Then I should be brought back to life, reserved to be killed again, to die again in jihad, to be resurrected again. I mean, these are the verses of the holy books of Islam.
You know,
I didn't make them up.
Right.
Muhammad made them up. But this is the cult belief system. So
When you're dealing with the surahs that were revealed, allegedly, in Yathrib, today's Medina, which abrogate everything that was revealed in Mecca, and you're dealing with a hadith regarding the support of those verses that are the Medina verses, they are fixated on a singular thing, jihad.
Only jihad.
That's only jihad. It's terrorism. It's jihad as a terrorist tactic under full weaponry to literally terrorize people by enslaving them, by kidnapping them, by stealing their property, by raping the women. It is the most repulsive, uncivilized, disgusting doctrine in the world. And there is no hope. You cannot resolve this problem with a devout Muslim. Their minds have been turned to mush. And their hearts have been darkened by this horrible religion. So we get back to it, IQ. Why are you amongst the few who has recognized the obvious and has the good sense, the morality, and the courage to say it?
Maybe I've been chosen to do it like you have been chosen to do it.
Perhaps so. All we can hope is that more people listen. Look forward to being with you again next week, IQ, Al-Rasuli.